Hello, and welcome aboard another episode of the Gallant Says podcast. Occasionally, a show that airs and takes month-long and or month-and-a-half hiatuses, sometimes available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and I think I said Spotify. You can also join live with our new time that we're going to try to stick to. Weekdays, 6 to 6:30 p.m. Central Time at youtube.com/PaulGallant or twitch.tv/GallantSays. It is Monday, May 1st of 2023. I'm sure you've heard a shit ton of, it's gonna be May today. The NFL draft is officially in the books. The NFL draft is my... It's a weird subject for me. Because I actually do enjoy watching the NFL draft. I like the mystery, the drama, and I hate the buildup to it. I also hate the discussion after it's done. But the actual 3 days themselves are pretty entertaining, right? And I think this past weekend was pretty damn entertaining. Started off with the Houston Texans taking C.J. Stroud with the second overall pick. They traded a bunch. Their 12th overall pick, a second round pick, their first next year, a third round pick to move up the number three spot to get Alabama pass rusher slash defensive lineman Will Anderson. And from there, Anthony Richardson gets taken fourth overall. There were some interesting moves on day two. There were interesting moves on day three. But the reason that I get frustrated with the NFL draft is because it has blown up in a just horrible, horrible time. I think that as time goes on, despite humans clearly having limitations when it comes to their ability to know X, Y, and Z, there's only a finite amount of brain space that we have. And yet, maybe due to cell phones, maybe due to computers, the internet, whatever, we have an alarmingly irrational level of confidence when it comes to talking about really everything. But the NFL draft takes it to another level. And I say that because there are people that do this for an actual living that work for NFL teams. There are people who do it for a living in that they are paid to watch film, to write evaluations, to help feed into the actual hype of the NFL draft every single year. And I have a great deal of respect for those people. I have a great deal of respect for the people working in those organizations because, as you see with the results year to year, it's a very hard job to evaluate someone, whether or not they're going to be able to come into an organization, do the work that's necessary, be a scheme fit. There are so many things that have to go right for any draft pick to work out. And as I have been working in sports media for the last decade or so, every single year, I have become a lot more comfortable with the fact that I don't know much about this whole process. The people who are running it probably know a little bit more than me, but no matter how smart they might be, how good they are at evaluating football, the draft still might not go in their favor. So, with all that being said, I come out of what the Houston Texans did this weekend thinking to myself, it might work, it might not, and maybe that's lame, but that's, I think, how we should operate in a lot of different places where we clearly aren't as on top of things as we think we actually are. Life and Sports Talk with Jake on YouTube.com/Paul Gallant comments. Seahawks won that draft. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. You don't know. You don't fucking know. No one knows. And yet we have such a rational confidence after the draft to claim that team X, Y, or Z won the draft. And I don't get it because as somebody who works in this industry, it's impossible to know. Even if you did all the research, it's impossible to know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. And if you want an example of just how impossible it is, I will show you a packet that was given to me by Patrick Creighton, who I did the draft show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on Thursday night. We did a show, and Patrick, who is the man, gave me this binder. And as you can see in the binder, let me get it right side up, it's divided into sections with information on a ton of different players. So I can just scroll to a random page. It starts off with Bryce Young, but you go through it, and at the very back, you see a possible first-round pick in Hendon Hooker. This is just first-round picks that we have in this binder. Now think about all the other possible players that could be drafted in the draft. Because generally there's what, 250 players drafted in a draft? Some end up being great when you don't expect it. From Tom Brady to Brock Purdy. And yet, a lot of people that are in my shoes in this game, you will go into an NFL draft with essentially this same amount of information, and you will come out of it saying team X, Y, or Z won the draft or team X, Y, or Z lost the draft. And I just think it's fucking stupid. Because there's no way you could know. None. No chance. None. So I hate the build-up to the draft, too, because people do all of these mock drafts and try to, I guess, put themselves in the shoes of specific teams, general managers, and try to do what the actual professionals do. I'm sure it's fun, but does it provide any information that makes you better at knowing how the draft works, knowing who's good, who's bad? It doesn't. It doesn't do anything. And there are so many people that have now inserted themselves into this game. It used to be, and I'm going to sound like an old guy here, it used to be that the people who would talk about the NFL draft were sports talk radio show hosts like myself, people who were working on television as well, local TV, national TV, newspapers, but it's gone from that to every single person who has their own podcast, every single person who has their own YouTube show, even further to every single person who has their own Twitter account or social media. And the amount of varying opinions on the NFL draft surely shows that there's a ton of interest in the thing, but how many of them are actually right? And if they are right, how many of them are right not due to blind luck? How many of them are right because they actually laid out fundamentally why player X, Y, or Z would work? Not many, if any. So I'm glad this is done. And then you get into the post-draft process where lots of people are going to take a look at who's drafted where, and they're going to try and grade a team based off of what they did. And I find it very funny that over the last couple of days, we've gotten to a point where people are finding ways to say a certain team reached at a specific point. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I just think we've gotten to a point where we all need to sit back and admit that there are some things we don't have a fucking clue about. This isn't just sports. This isn't just the NFL draft. Like, how could anybody work in a 9-to-5 and then does this on the side? How the fuck are they going to know what's going on in it? But everyone talks and speaks about it so confidently, has strong, hot takes on all of it. And I used to be guilty of this. But the longer I work in it, the more I realize it's okay to admit what you don't know. Why can't we do that as people? Why? How many times have you seen a political argument on, I don't know, maybe Facebook, Twitter between two people who are so ideologically opposed, and you know that neither of them are making any headway. They're both just trying to make arguments to support their side of things. But you know that they don't actually know what they're fucking talking about. Still, they're talking so damn confidently about it. Have we always been like this? Life and Sports Talk with Jake says, it's because we all have egos. It's true, but isn't it so easy to just give up the ego? And I'll admit, there are certain people who will maybe question an opinion I have, and depending on the opinion, I might get a little bit annoyed by it. Say, Dove Kleiman, who I think is a hack, the NFL aggregator who steals a lot of people's contents and repurposes it as his own. He was trying to tell me a lot of things about the New England Patriots from the 2000s as to why Bill Belichick wasn't that good of a coach. And I'm like, dude, I watched the team a lot. You can't argue this against me. And your argument is filled with a lot of holes. But he kept on arguing so confidently. And then eventually I just said, you steal other people's content, and he blocked me. And then that sort of ended our interactions, which I'm honestly thankful for. There's a lot of people out there that refuse because of ego or something else. They refuse to just publicly own up to the fact. They're like, yeah, I don't fucking know. Why is that hard? Is it because we were taught in class that if you didn't have the answer to something that you're in the wrong, you got to be shamed for it? Maybe it has always been this way. I feel like the internet has made it a lot worse. And look, I mean, shit, who knows what's going to happen with artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and all these other things that are entering the fray. You might at some point in the near future to actually be able to know everything. You could put one of these things in your brain and all of a sudden you're going to be spouting things off and sounding like a robot. You could be a real life Ken Jennings from Jeopardy or someone else who's supposedly smart. But now it seems like we look things up, parrot that information that we see online as our own, and I don't know. I don't think that's a good way to go about things. Life and Sports Talk with Jake. It's all opinion, like you just said. We just like to agree to disagree over everything. I don't think people like to agree to disagree. I think people want to win an argument online. And I've gotten better at this, but I have a couple of friends who know how to get under my skin. I would say some of the conversations I have off the radio are perhaps more intense than the ones I have on it. And I don't know. There's definitely a level of not giving as much of a fuck about sports that I have now compared to what I had when I was in college, what I had when I was younger than that. When you get into the sports media industrial complex and you've got a 2-hour show to do every day or a 3-hour show to do every day or a 4-hour show to do every day, you're going to get burned out by some of the things that you see over and over and over again. And you're also going to realize that some of the really strong opinions that you had when you are younger, they didn't hold weight. And you should learn from those mistakes. You should learn from those wrong opinions. Life and Sports Talk with Jake is bringing up some time in Seattle. When you were in Seattle, that was great on 710. People calling in to disagree with you. And look, some people, I will have a conversation with them. I just don't like it when a conversation begins with, hey, this is true. And I think the NFL draft in the sports world is the guiltiest culprit of it. So many people talking out of their ass completely. You know, it's just a smorgasbord of fart words. And that bums me out because I know that to be successful, I have to engage in it. But if I'm doing it and I'm not being 100% honest, what am I bringing to the table? And I know that today, for some, I put Houston Texans in the title of this post on YouTube, hoping that a lot of Texans fans will see this. I am wondering, how does this content compare to the many other YouTube shows, whether it's Landry Locker or it's Cody Stutes or others who post digital content, are people going to look at this and say, nah, this is boring? Or are people actually going to look at this and realize, all right, fair point here? But it does seem like the people that have strong opinions on the actual draft are the ones that more people listen to. If you're loud and sound confident with something that you say, you are going to perhaps generate a little bit more interest. And I get that's how sports talk works. I try to be entertaining when I talk about these things. But the NFL draft in particular, I just think there's so much fugazi, fake confidence attached to a lot of the opinions that people have. Joey M says, miss you in Seattle. Hope you're doing well, Paul. Thank you very much, Joey, for that comment. Life and Sports Talk with Jake says, would you have rather, for the Texans, had Anthony Richardson over C.J. Stroud? That is a great question. The reason that I would take C.J. Stroud is because I've seen more of Anthony Richardson. For those who don't know, in my nomading across the United States, I grew up in Massachusetts. My parents divorced. I moved with my mom to Florida. My dad and my sister stayed up in Boston. Mildly messy. Mildly messy situation. But when I was down there, I started rooting very hard for the Florida Gators, a team who I had liked growing up in Massachusetts. Not a lot of good college football there. So I started watching college football on the regular every single Saturday, the Gators in particular. And that's when the Gators really took off and became awesome. So I still try to watch as many Florida Gator football games as I can on Saturdays. Some weeks they're not playing teams that are relevant. There's another game that maybe is on at the same time. But I still try to watch as much as I can. And I've seen enough Anthony Richardson to know he is a lot of fucking fun. He is super athletic. He makes some incredibly, like, whoa, what the fuck was that plays? And if Indianapolis's situation is better than it was last year, because for whatever reason, the offensive line stopped being as good, Jonathan Taylor got hurt, they do need some, I think, better weapons for Richardson to work with. But that is a situation where I could see Richardson succeeding. I'm not sure that Richardson in Houston would have worked out so well. I would have enjoyed it, that's for sure. But if I had to pick Stroud or Richardson between the two, if I'm the general manager making that decision, I would have picked Stroud. And I have my own reservations about C.J. Stroud for those who haven't tuned in. I've been sharing a bunch of them from the radio show and posting them on YouTube. I look at Stroud and I like the size. I think he has been through a lot of adversity, which makes you feel that this is a guy who can handle rough times. His father was serving a, I believe, close to 40-year prison sentence. He didn't play great in the two games against Michigan, the only two losses that we've seen from Ohio State against Michigan, but that game against Georgia, he played so well. He has decent enough mobility that he didn't really use that much, but against Georgia, he did. The last play that C.J. Stroud made in college, like big play, because I think there was a completion a couple of plays later, was a scramble down the middle of the field that put Ohio State in field goal range to potentially knock Georgia off. They hit that field goal with how bad TCU looked. We might be talking about Ohio State as national champions. Stroud has had a lot of things working in his favor. Ohio State has more talent than everybody in the Big Ten. That offense, I think, does lend itself to receivers being more open than in other offenses. Not to say he can't go through his progressions, but this will be an adaptation for him. And of course, Ohio State almost always has great wide receivers. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., he doesn't get drafted. Jackson Smith, Njigba, obviously another Ohio State wide receiver. Like, they've had a lot of really good receivers over the years. So I've always had some reservations about quarterbacks from Ohio State, quarterbacks from USC too. But if I had to pick again between C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, even with all those things, reservations I have about Stroud, I would take Stroud. I also have no idea who's going to be better between the two, because I think that Richardson's ceiling is preposterously high, and it does seem like he's somebody that puts in the work, but who knows? And that's what bothers me about coming out of this draft. So many people are confident. Life and Sports Talk with Jake says, Will Levis dropping to the second round just shows Mel Kiper isn't always right. Well, you can go back to Jimmy Clausen too. Credit to Mel Kiper, who I've heard is a very nice guy. Kiper is the reason that this industry exists in the way that it does. Daniel Jeremiah is probably the best draft analyst in 2023. Lance Zierlein, who does their show right before mine, he does a lot of work for the NFL Network. I think Lance does a lot of great work. There are other people that do great work. I look, though, at the entire pre-draft hustle as something that is a waste of my time because, yeah, there's a lot of speculation. You have a general idea of when players should be taken, who's available for what teams to take. But for the most part, when you hear a prognostication about a player, it's almost always with the tint of this is what happens in the best case scenario, as opposed to what's realistic. And you'll notice now that when you look at draft grades, this is what drives me fucking crazy. When you look at draft grades now, especially over the last couple of years, you'll see the occasional website that'll post a team that got an F for a draft or a D, but it's rare. Now, when you see drafts graded, the people that are doing the write-ups are almost always looking at them through the prism of this is what happens if it all works out. And obviously we know that a lot of these draft classes are going to be absolute disaster that get coaches fired, get general managers fired, that get players sent to other destinations. And that part of it frustrates me a lot. And especially what happens afterwards, too, because there's so many strong opinions with people that have made it their craft to study the NFL draft, college players, prospects. And then after the draft, they give everybody a B for a grade or an A for a grade. I don't know. Give someone an F or something like that. I am curious to see how Will Levis will do in Tennessee. That seems like a sinking ship. They didn't get him any weapons to work with. I'm not feeling it. I think that Tennessee at this moment in time is looking like they have a really good chance to be picking in the top five next year. And we'll see if Levis goes under center right away, but they're trying to get rid of Derrick Henry. It seems like they are still trying to strip parts. Chris Otto, youtube.com/PaulGallant, says CJ Carr. He believes that CJ Stroud is a lot like Derrick Carr. Maybe, maybe not. Like, that is my take on everything with the draft. I mean, we could go through all the picks that the Texans made. CJ Stroud, second overall. Will Anderson, third overall. They make the trade up for that. Juice Scruggs. I think it's hilarious that Brian Cushing, who was popped for juicing back with the Texans, announced that pick. Pick 62. He's a center from Penn State. Wide receiver from Houston, Tank Dell, undersized, but very fast, playmaker, out of control. Dylan Horton, a defensive lineman and edge rusher from TCU, big-bodied guy. Henry To'o, the linebacker from Alabama. You got D'Amico Ryan's Alabama ties. He's supposedly really fast, maybe not the biggest guy. Jarrett Patterson, a center from Notre Dame. He's just a big body on the interior offensive line. Xavier Hutchinson at Iowa State, very productive. And then on top of that, Brandon Hill, who's super athletic. Like, some of these guys are going to never play. Some of these guys are going to play and piss us all off. And one of these people, at least, is going to surprise us and probably be a lot better than we thought. That's how it works. Lumineer 3 says that CBS Sports gave the Texans a C. You will find, and I imagine that C came largely due to the fact that the Texans traded a first-round pick next year to get up to 3 to go get Will Anderson. About as harsh as a grade will get is C, C-. And to me, that's fucking bullshit. Like, if you were in school, a C is a passing grade. It's not ideal, and your parents might not be thrilled if you bring home a C. I know my parents would get mad if I brought home a B. Can't all be my older sister, ears, nose, and throat pediatric surgeon. Can't all be her going to Harvard, you know? But in my house, I would not get patted on the back for a B. I feel like most houses should be like that. But a C stands for satisfactory. It's like you did it enough. You have a basic understanding of the information. A D is, in college, a D gets degrees, but a D, I mean, Jesus, you barely passed. And an F is failure, and an F ranges from what? Is it 59 to 0? A lot of those drafts are going to be Fs, but no one has the balls to grade an F They used to. And I think some people that are from Seattle are probably aware as to why that is the case. Because I know we got a couple of Seattle people in here. I think the reason that's the case is because everyone wants to stay away from being made fun of for all the bad evaluations that were made of the the Seahawks draft back in 2012 with Bruce Irvin, was it Bobby Wagner second round, and Russell Wilson. Like, they got destroyed for that draft. I mean, it's one of the best drafts in NFL history. Won them at least one Super Bowl, got them to two. And I think people look at that and they're like, oh, I don't want to give out an F. But if you're going to do all this work on it, give out an F. I mean, I'm of the belief that we all know what we know. We all know what we don't know. And we should be a lot more open admitting that sometimes we don't know the answers to everything. We should. But given the amount of confidence that people speak in the draft, I don't know, be consistent. Somebody go out there and give somebody an F. Have some balls, have some stones. If you're going to go through this pre-draft process and act like the information that you are filtering out, whether it's from leaks inside organizations or it's because of your own eyes and what you've studied on film, someone have the balls to give a fucking F. You know? That's all I'm asking for. But anyway, that's going to probably draw things to a close unless you've got any final thoughts. We got Christopher Otto saying, Tua Tagovailoa was my favorite pick. I have high expectations for him being paired with Christian Harris. Again, watch the tape. Fifth round pick, fast linebacker. Christian Harris looked pretty damn good last year. I really liked Harris. Harris was fun when he finally joined because the Texas linebackers have been just slow and nothing for the last couple of years. The thing that sucks for them, though, and while I like, you know, getting Will Anderson's an edge rusher. Dylan Horton, also edge rusher. Is the interior of that defensive line, is Sheldon Rankins going to make that much of a difference? Is Malik Collins going to be better than he was last year? The defensive line definitely didn't look anywhere close to as good when he was off the field. Is Jerry Hughes going to contribute? If they had talent last year, Lovie Smith was truly a horrible coach. Because I think they believe that they had a little bit more talent, especially on the front line, than they did. And obviously we saw what happened last year. It was rough. Anyway, yeah, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Gallant Says podcast. I apologize for being away for as long as I have. I'm not going to lie. It's like a combination of a video game addiction and me being a little bit burnt out. But I want to do this daily. We will try next weekend, 8 o'clock on Sunday Central, to do an episode. We will also try the rest of the week to go live at 6 to 6:30. We will talk sports. We're not always going to talk sports. It does seem like more people on YouTube join when I talk about the Houston Texans, but I'll be honest, there's only so much you can talk about with them. One of the things that I do want to talk about on this week's show is Tucker Carlson being gone from Fox News. Because you may or may not know, I had an interaction with the guy back in the day when I was living in Seattle, about 3 years ago or so. But I appreciate all the support. Sorry for the sporadic content. I'm lazy. What can I say? But until tomorrow, Virginia Buttonweed on twitch.tv/ESPN975 with the final comment. Hey, man, I hope you enjoyed the one guy in the Oilers shirt trolling Kansas City fans. Made me think of you and laugh when I watched. Jason McCourty, former New England Patriot. I got to say, stolen valor wearing that Oilers shit. That was stolen valor. Pick a lane. You can't come in and talk about your time with the Patriots, but then say, but actually, I'm here for the Titans while wearing an Oilers shirt. And then on top of that, saying that Tennessee is the best barbecue. Should have specified Memphis has the best barbecue in Tennessee. Is it top three for barbecue, though? I don't know. Kansas City, Carolina, Houston, like Texas. Tennessee as a whole being top three, I don't think you can make that argument. Nashville has hot chicken. Hot chicken's fucking great. But Jason McCourty, while I did enjoy the trolling, I felt like there was some stolen valor there, and you got to pick a lane. You can't be like me when you're talking shit. You can't, because I'm from everywhere, right? I'm from wherever helps me win an argument. From Boston, whenever I'm talking to somebody about football, I'm like, oh, you watched that team growing up? I watched the Patriots. I know more than you. It was fun to do that every now and then in Seattle, but I didn't do it that much because I think most people would have lost their minds because of Super Bowl 49. Whenever I talk about my athleticism, I played high school football in Florida. Did I play at a high level? It doesn't matter. I played high school football in Florida. Oh, Paul, what's your broadcasting acumen? Oh, I went to Syracuse University. I can claim that. Hey, Paul, do you have a fundamental understanding of the left? Yes, I lived in Seattle for a couple of years. Hey, Paul, are you Texas? Are you Texan? Sure, I've been here for almost a decade. So when you bring all that together and you're consistently using your background to perhaps, I don't know, talk shit, just realize that could be used against you. And I got to say, Jason McCourty, it was a little bit of a try-hard move. Anyway, that will wrap up officially today's episode on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you haven't subscribed already, it'll be up a little bit later today. You can also get it on youtube.com/PaulGallant or twitch.tv/GallantSays. And watch this thing weekdays again, 6 to 6:30, Monday through Thursday, Sunday nights, 8 o'clock. So long, farewell. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back at it tomorrow night. Peace!